barely hurt her. I couldn't stop thinking about the video. This Skull Empire government had to know how much of an asshole that prince was. Plus, they couldn't blame me for something I didn't make. Could they? My HUD snapped back on. First thing I noticed was that my followers had increased significantly in the past hour. With the combination of the recap episode and this stupid video, that feeling of loneliness I'd felt earlier was all but gone. I now felt like a bug under a microscope. I wondered how many people really thought that the SNCC was real. I always wondered that about conspiracy theorists. I always suspected most of them were just trolling. Surely, the real number couldn't be very many.
Carl, darling, I can't believe you hooked up with that guy,
Donut said loudly. She pushed at the door, heading out of the room.
He sure squealed a lot, though.
Her laughter trailed off into the hallway. God damn it, Donut, I said. Chapter 45. Finding the boss chamber of the kobolds was easy. Heavy, thrumming metal music blasted through the halls. It was a cacophony of sound, with growling, deep vocals, and guitars that were almost seizure-like. I couldn't tell if the vocalist was singing in English, or if he was even human at all. The words sounded like deeply distorted barking. Considering the enemies of this quadrant, I wouldn't be surprised if the singer was a kobold or a dingo. We followed the sound, which grew louder and louder until it was physically painful. Donut and I couldn't talk to one another, and we had to rely on the chat to communicate. We killed a half dozen kobolds and an equal number of dingoes along the way, plus a handful of the brindle grubs. Both of us hit level 12 by the time we approached the source. Donut.
This music is making my head hurt. Why can't they play something good? Like Oasis.
Carl.
Oasis? Where did you get that from?
Even B didn't listen to Oasis.
Donut.
No, Miss Beatrice likes country music. That's just as bad as this.
Carl. Yeah, that should have been my first warning.
Donut.
There is the boss chamber.
The outer kobold boss chamber was set up as a giant dog kennel. The text on the walls was in Portuguese, indicating the place had been some sort of municipal dog pound. It was a group of three long hallways flanked by cages. There was a secondary, main chamber with a door at the end of the middle hallway, but we already knew from experience that whatever the boss was going to be, it would likely come out of that second room. That second door was huge, like the double doors of a barn. An ominous sign. Most of the cages were empty, but not all of them. Each row had four or five locked pens with danger dingoes within. I didn't see any signs of the kobolds. A handful of cages also contained the exes of dead monsters. Here, in this context, the large dingoes looked especially dog-like, and I suddenly felt an uneasy sympathy for them. The monsters didn't bark or attack the cages as we passed by them. They sat there, curled up, looking pitiful. Their dots, however, remained red on the mini-map.
Donut.
Should we kill them? We should probably kill them.
It would be easy, free experience. And I knew once that boss chamber opened, these doors would likely also open. But it felt wrong. I remembered Mordecai's advice regarding the boss rooms.
Look for the clues.
Carl. Hang on, not yet. Let's try to figure out what's going on here. I stopped at one of the cages. The dingo was on its side, breathing heavily, its back turned.
Hey, buddy! You doing okay?
I said, yelling the words. I couldn't even hear my own voice. The dingo looked up, turning its head toward me. He was missing an eye, a recent injury. His white face paint mixed red with blood. Then I noticed the injuries on his side, a mixture of old scars and new ones around his flank and along the side of his neck. The song ended. A moment later, a new one started, just as loud and heavy. But in that brief moment of silence, I heard something coming from the main boss chamber. Cheering. I knew then what this was.
God damn it, I thought. I hated this place.
I hated it so damn much. I looked up at the boss room door. I searched my inventory. I didn't have any scrolls of heal critter left, but I did have a ton of pet biscuits. Donut still ate them, despite being classified as a regular crawler. But unless we were locked in the dungeon for 50 years, we'd never run out of the food. I took a single biscuit from my inventory and tossed it into the cage. Donut.
Carl, what are you doing? That is my food!
Carl. I'm trying something. Let's see what happens. Donut.
This is a betrayal most foul!
Carl. You know the viewers can't see this chat. Don't be such a drama queen. The dingo painfully pulled himself up, sniffed at the food, and he ate the tiny biscuit. He sat back down and turned his back. The dot on the mini-map blinked and turned white.
Yes!
We repeated the process for all the other dingoes in the cages. There was a total of 14 of them. Most of them were in similar shape to the first one. 3 cages also contained dead danger dingoes. I debated whether or not to have Donut raise them from the dead prior to the battle, but there didn't seem to be a way to open the cages. Donut's 10-mana second chance spell was now level 5. Instead of reanimating the corpses for 5 minutes, once she hit level 5, they now remained animated for 10 minutes, which was usually long enough to finish out a battle. She could now apparently resurrect monsters up to 5 levels higher than herself. She currently had a pool of 28 mana points. She had 2 pieces of mana toast and a pile of mana restoration potions, though with her 2-minute cooldown between potions, their use in battle became negligible. So we decided to wait and see what we faced first. My plan wasn't too exciting, but it was safe. The door to the main chamber didn't seem to be opening, at least not yet, so we were going to use our tried and true method of firebomb and run. But just as I pulled a boom jug out of my inventory, our luck ran out. The music abruptly stopped. My ears rang, feeling heavy in my head. Within the chamber, the cheering ceased. The double barn doors started to open. Behind us, the door to the secondary chamber slammed shut. Above, new, more familiar music started to play.
Boss battle! That's right! You have discovered another lair of a neighborhood boss! Put your game faces on, ladies and gentlemen! And here we go!
Shit, I said, scrambling toward the barn doors. As I ran, I had a brief moment to marvel at how much I'd changed in the past week. My original instinct would have been to hide. Instead, I ran toward the danger. I lit the torch on the jug, and I tossed it directly at the still-opening doors. Just as the jug took flight, the doors flew all the way open, revealing a mass of about 40 kobolds emerging from the room, cheering and chanting. I did not see any boss at all. The world froze with the jug in midair. It hung like a comet. The group of kobolds were just starting to look up at the object in the air, rocketing toward them, their eyes registering surprise. My eyes focused on the kobold in the center of the congregation. He still appeared to be one of the level 5 kobold riders, but he was much better dressed. He wore what appeared to be a fur coat made out of dingo fur and wore spiked boots, making him a head taller than the others. In his hands, he held a small, metal-reinforced cage, about the size of a shoebox. His hands were frozen in the act of pulling open the enclosure. The little entrance pointed directly at us like a gun barrel. Uh-oh, I thought. Our mugshots splattered into view, and the verses stamped onto the image.
Ralph! Frenzied Gerbil! Level 11 Neighborhood Boss! Before we send you off to certain death, it's time for a short history lesson. When the Black Death swept through 14th century Europe, killing upwards of 200 million people and forever altering the course of human history, one of the original culprits of the epidemic was said to be the Black Rat, carrying plague-infested fleas into population centers to wreak their destruction. This is, in fact, not true. The true perpetrator was actually the Asian Great Gerbil, who took advantage of the warmer climate to travel the Silk Road and bring the disease into Europe. This is only important to know because Ralph, champion pit fighter of the Kobolds' training grounds, lives his life in a perpetual state of rage. Why? Because he feels that human death toll of 200 million is much too low, and he will do everything in his power to triple that number. Starting with you, the only survivor of a family of gerbils left to starve by a child who'd grown bored with the pets, Ralph had to commit unspeakable acts of cannibalism in order to endure. Part earth rodent, part the embodiment of death, frenzied gerbils are regular mobs one might encounter on the fifth or seventh floors. But Ralph here is special. He has dedicated his existence to fighting and training in hopes that one day he might exact his revenge against the humans he so despises. He is fast, he is angry, and by the time you're done reading this, he's already halfway to your jugular. You might want a duck!
The moment the extra-long description ended, the world unfroze, and chaos erupted all around us. I threw my body to the ground just as the furry, squealing rodent sailed over my head. He'd shot out of the carrier so fast I hadn't even seen him. At the same moment, the boom jug exploded in the midst of the kobolds, evaporating most of them instantly, including Ralph's owner, the pimped-out kobold. The fist-sized ball of fur screamed with rage as he landed harmlessly down the long hallway. Donut jumped to my shoulder and shot a magic missile at the tiny monster, and she scored a direct hit. It flew further back, sliding and tumbling. A health bar appeared, indicating she'd taken maybe 15% of its health away.
"Good shot!"
I cried. The tiny boss looked mostly like a regular gerbil with the exception of its mouth, which defied logic and physics. Its ravening jaw appeared normal when closed, but when the tiny, absurdly cute creature screamed, its mouth opened huge, just as wide as the dingoes it fought in the arena. It squealed angrily now, and its mouth burst open, obscuring the small creature attached to it. This was a round, frothing set of gnashing teeth big enough for me to stick my entire head within.
"All righty, then,"
I said, standing to my full height as the creature snarled at us and prepared to charge again.
"Carl, I can't help but think this boss has been placed here for a very specific purpose,"
Donut said. She shot it again with a magic missile, but this one missed. The gerbil squealed and jumped back.
"What do you mean?"
I asked. Most of the kobolds were dead, but a few at the edges of the blast had survived. One kobold, trailing blood, dragged itself to the wall and pressed a button recessed against the wall near the barn doors. A deep rumbling filled the chamber as the cages all started to open.
"Bad idea, buddy,"
I called to the kobold. The dingoes emerged from their cages. Their dots on the mini-map remained white. They slunk low, growling. Most of them were still injured, in obvious pain. But whatever spell had kept them under the control of their kobold slave masters had been broken by a simple act of kindness. One of the dingoes, that first one we'd fed, leaped out and pounced right onto Ralph. It happened quick, lightning fast. The one-eyed dingo swallowed the rodent whole in a swift, snapping gulp. Just like that, and the boss was gone. Behind us, the remaining kobolds fell back as the other dingoes turned on their former masters, dropping upon them and ripping them apart savagely. The kobolds weren't armed, and there weren't many of them. The barking, snarling dingoes finished them off in seconds. If we hadn't turned the dingoes on our side, this would have been a much more difficult battle. That had been the trick of this particular boss room. I silently thanked Mordecai for his advice. As unfair as this world was, it was still a game. There were puzzles and hidden paths to survival, and we needed to continue to keep our eyes open.
"Well, that was quite easy,"
Donut said.
"And a little anticlimactic, if I must say so."
She looked back at the first dingo, the one who'd eaten the boss.
"I guess I was wrong."
I looked about the room. The kobolds were all dead. From the main boss chamber, the sound of multiple unknown creatures started to howl and trill and yip. These weren't particularly loud or menacing sounds, and I could barely hear them over the background music. None of them sounded like dingoes. Now that the smoke was clearing, I could see within the boss chamber. Like I expected, it was a small fighting arena. More cages circled the distant walls. I couldn't see the contents from this distance, but it was a mix of red and white dots. I suspected if we hadn't killed the kobolds so quickly, one of them would have likely run back in and opened those cages as well. The boss music still played, and the realization startled me.
This isn't over yet. We're missing something.
I formed a fist, preparing for an attack.
And what did you mean? What were you wrong about?
The other dingoes all slinked away. Some bared their teeth at us as they passed, but in a submissive gesture, not an angry one. This close, the massive 200-pound dingoes were even more terrifying to behold. While they all wore the white face paint, none wore it exactly the same. They congregated at the end of the chamber by the locked door. They scratched at the exit, like dogs wanting to go outside. The one-eyed dingo who'd eaten Ralph continued to stand where he'd swallowed the miniature boss. He seemed frozen in place. The creature looked at us and started to whine. Donut looked pointedly at my foot.
It's a small rodent. Your feet are all nice and shiny. As Miss Beatrice used to say, time to pay the daddy tax.
Wait, what?
Under what circumstances would she say that? At that moment, the dingo's head exploded. The creature looked at us, cocked its head to the side, and then boom! Red and white gore splattered everywhere. The still-alive gerbil burst forth, flying directly at my throat. It was halfway across the room before the poor, headless dingo hit the ground. The tiny, furry rocket squealed. I'd been ready. I Mike Tysoned it with all my strength. The gerbil bounced off the floor with a sickening crunch, sliding until it hit the edge of a cage. Its health was suddenly in the deep red. It had stunned over its head with a 15-second timer. My gauntlet only had a 2% chance to inflict stun on monsters. I'd never, not once, gotten the debuff to activate until now. With a baleful glance at the ceiling, I took two steps toward the tiny, unmoving form. For a moment, I contemplated just punching it to death.
Time to pay the daddy tax.
If it makes you feel better, she was talking about you. You're the daddy,
Donut said, looking down at the almost dead boss.
No, Donut. That does not make me feel better. That's the opposite of making me feel better.
I placed my bare right foot upon the small monster. Sorry, Ralph, I said.
Chapter 46.
The dungeon groaned. It fucking groaned. I sighed as I wiped my foot on the metal bar of the cage. The entire dungeon rumbled as if it was experiencing a small earthquake. My HUD flickered. I felt dirty and sick. I rubbed my foot over and over, but the blood wouldn't come off. The boss fight officially ended, and the distant door opened. The 13 danger dingoes fled into the hallway, scattering away to the wind. I looted the neighborhood map. Dozens of red dots filled the hallways. These were newly generated brindle grubs. I watched as the white dots of the dingoes continued to run toward the main artery hall, snatching up and killing the grubs they passed. The dingoes, as a pack, hit the main passage and their dots disappeared. I wondered what would happen if they ran across another group of crawlers. Probably nothing good. At least not for the crawlers. Either way, they wouldn't bother us again. Let's see what's in this main room, I said. We stepped over the slagged, still smoldering remains of the kobolds. Most of their bodies had been destroyed. I picked through what was left, looting a few spiked helmets and gold coins here and there. One had a scroll of Heal Critter and a handful of pet biscuits. The small gerbil cage lay on the floor, undamaged by the fire. I tossed it into my inventory. The kobold who'd pressed the button to open the cages also had a key. I examined its properties.
Master Pen Key. Opens the individual cages of both the fighters and the bait animals within the kobold fighting pits. This key is magically attuned to the kobold race. If you are not a kobold and attempt to use this key, it will only work once before breaking. Choose wisely.
We stepped into the arena, and I was immediately assaulted by the stench of death. A small, round fighting arena stood empty. The dirt floor was stained red. Against the left wall stood a pile of bones as tall as the ceiling. Several dozen chairs made of hardened wood circled the arena. I picked them up and looted them all before approaching the line of cages against the back of the chamber. The moment we approached the cages, each filled with a different type of monster, two achievements popped up.
New achievement! I'll take the Ceramic Dalmatian, Pat. You have discovered a reward room. Scattered throughout the dungeon, reward rooms offer crawlers items generally not available within loot boxes. Most reward rooms only allow one choice. So, if you're in a party of multiple people, tell them I said you should get the prize, not them. Reward? Don't be a greedy bitch. The goddamned room is the reward. New achievement! Menagerie! You have discovered a pet reward room. From caterpillars who secrete vodka to basilisks who can turn mobs to stone, a good pet can make the difference between survival and the end of the road. Just remember what happened with Harambe. There ain't no zookeepers around to shoot the monster's ass if you bite off more than you can chew. Reward? You have a key! It opens only one cage. Figure it out, Einstein.
Well, shit, I said, looking over the choices. I guess we're getting a pet.
I get to pick,
Donut said.
The thing said it was my prize.
Yeah, Donut. It said the same thing to both of us. It's trying to get us to fight.
Really? Well, that was mean.
She gasped as she noticed the very last cage.
Carl! Carl, give me the key!
There was a line of 10 cages. None of the creatures looked particularly impressive. But then again, that gerbil hadn't looked too impressive either. Still, I suspected, since this was only the second floor and the first of these treasure rooms we'd come across, none of these guys were super rare or valuable. I was hesitant about this. In most games I'd played, you could only have one pet at a time. That be the case here? If so, how hard was it to give up the pet? I had no idea. The first animal was a parrot thing with a long beak, and it was easily the loudest thing here. Its dot was red. I examined it, but the system didn't give me any info other than its name. Juvenile Rivenwing. The next was a green slime, then a rat, then a meatball with two legs and a mohawk called a tummy acre. Of the first four, only the slime and the rat had white dots. A row of equally pitiful animals followed, looking up at us, including a white-tagged brindle grub. I thought of those massive, deadly brindled vespas and thought maybe that'd be a good choice. But Donut only had eyes on that last cage. It was a chicken dinosaur thing with pink, downy feathers. The monster cooed up at the cat, making a chirping noise. The thing looked pitiful. I immediately saw why Donut liked it. It landed firmly in the it's-so-damn-ugly-it's-cute category. It was probably 7 inches tall. It stood on two legs and cocked its head at me. The damn thing looked like a raw piece of chicken with a few random pink-hued feathers attached to it. It had two tiny forearms instead of wings, and a long, serpentine tail. It squawked, opening its beaked mouth, revealing a row of sharp, tiny teeth. It was called a mongoliensis. It was also red-tagged.
Is it a boy or a girl? How can I tell? If it's a boy, I'm going to call him Mongo.
The chicken thing chirped at Donut.
If it's a girl, I'm naming her Sissy.
It looks like dinner. I think we should get the brindle grub.
Give it a pet biscuit. See if its dot changes to white.
I sighed and pulled a pet biscuit out. I tried to toss it into the cage, but a blue force field appeared, blocking the treat. The chicken cried in outrage and slammed its head against the bars. All up and down the row, all the creatures started squealing and squawking. If we were going to get a pet, I knew it would be for the best to let Donut have the creature. I didn't know for certain what attribute counted the most toward keeping it happy and not murdering us in our sleep, but I imagined charisma had a major role. And maybe strength. Donut outranked me in both. I weighed whether or not I should attempt to overrule her.
If it's a girl, we can get her a little dress, and she can sit on my shoulder when we do interviews. Can't you just see it? I'll be like Paris Hilton with Tinkerbell.
Donut, I really think...
Warning! The cages will permanently close in 30 seconds. Translation, hurry the hell up!
Carl, quick, please, please, please. I'll never ask for anything ever again, I promise.
It's going to attack us. I'll grab it, and you try feeding it. I took the key, and I jammed it into the lock of the mongoliensis cage. I cracked the door,
and the little bastard shot out. I grasped it in both hands. It started thrashing and attempting to bite me. The thing barely weighed anything at all. I had to sit on the ground while Donut pulled a few pet biscuits from her inventory. They appeared on the ground in front of the thing. It continued to fight me, but it slowed down, eyeing the food. I eased my double-handed grip enough for it to peck at the food like a chicken. It took a few bites, then squawked. The dot remained red.
Carl, it's a boy! It's okay, Mungo. I'm sorry I said I'd put you in a dress. We'll get you a nice little bow tie. Would you like that?
The creature snapped forward and bit Donut directly on the nose. She squealed in pain.
Ow! Bad! Bad, Mungo!
The baby dinosaur, still in my grip, started screaming back at the cat while I tried to keep myself from falling over with laughter. Donut hissed and swatted it lightly on the head. The small monster squealed indignantly and snapped again at her face. I examined the creature's properties.
Male Mongoliensis, level 1. This is a pet class mob. This pet has not yet bonded with a crawler. The stubborn and hot-headed Mongoliensis is not the type of pet to ever be tamed. The best one can hope for is mutual respect, and even then they still might try to eat you if the fancy strikes them. While especially powerful, fast, and vicious when they are fully grown at level 15, getting them to level 15 is about as likely as a cheerleader from West Virginia reaching her 18th birthday as a virgin. They will immediately attack any mobs they see. They will fight to the death. Good luck.
God damn it, Donut. I knew we should have gone with the grub.
I'm not going to have a disgusting bug thing as a pet, Carl. You can't even put a bow tie on a grub.
She reached forward and patted Mongo on the head. He snapped at her and attached himself to her arm. She yowled and shook her arm until he fell off.
Well, we better figure out how to get this thing to bond with you before we go to Mordecai's room, or Mongo here is going to teleport away the second we walk in there.
Don't worry, Carl. Mongo and I are practically best friends already, aren't we, Mongo?
Mongo shrieked at the cat. Chapter 47. Views, 124.8 trillion. Followers, 2.1 trillion. Favorites, 234 billion. The process of getting Mongo to bond with Donut took the rest of our time on the second floor. It also, for whatever reason, appeared to be endlessly amusing to the general public. The continuing fallout from the Maestro sex tape, along with Donut getting her nose chomped over and over and over by her new pet, seemed to be a winning combination, in terms of views at least. Even though we faced no more bosses or major battles for the remainder of our time on this floor, we were far from idle. Zev was beside herself with our numbers, which apparently were exceptionally good for the second floor. We received daily updates from the PR agent. The pet was playing well. Zev implored me to stop training with the slingshot. Nobody liked me using the boring slingshot, she claimed. Not when I could toss a stick of dynamite instead. I ignored her advice and continued practicing with it. I managed to get the skill up to 5, and while the tiny stones did very little damage, they had the ability to knock the brindled Vespas out of the air. A single hit to one of the hornet's wings caused it to crash to the ground and make it unable to spit its acid. A follow-up magic missile from Donut, whose skill in the spell had risen to 8, usually killed them off. We didn't need to wander far when we had an almost endless supply of the level 8 hornets to hunt. The first thing we did after winning Mongo was to go talk to Mordecai. The creature fit in the gerbil cage. Barely. It wasn't ideal, and it was cruel to keep him in there. But if I carried him in my hands, he spent every free moment trying to bite me. If we stuck him in the cage, it allowed us to take him into a safe room without having to worry about him teleporting away. That is, as long as we kept our fingers away from the bars.
"Don't ask me about that thing until you start the bonding process," Mordecai said. "The rules are a little weird about taming dungeon pets."
In his cage, Mongo screamed and hissed at the guide.
"Once you figure out how to remove his automatic hostility, which is the first step, come back and I'll give you more info."
"Remove his hostility? Like how I did with the danger dingoes?"
"That's right. You can't bond with a creature when its aggro is activated. If you see that dot turn white, come back here, and I can help after that."
Donut and I opened up our loot boxes from the boss fight. Donut, coincidentally, received a spellbook of Heal Critter. I received yet another potion of Determine Value, which had come from a looter box, not a boss box, last time, and 1,000 gold coins. I wondered about that. There seemed to be a reason why the system kept giving these things to me. I drank it down, and I had a few new sword options for my inventory, including a new history tab. I would explore all that later. It still didn't tell me the monetary value of my individual items. I also received an achievement for feeding the danger dingoes.
New achievement! PETA Enthusiast. You somehow managed to remove the hostility of an aggravated, non-sapient enemy. That enemy then fought against other enemies to your benefit. The ghost of Steve Irwin smiles down upon you. Reward? I said the ghost of Steve Irwin smiles down upon you!
Okay. So, let's talk about the third floor.
All right, here we go,
Mordecai said. He rubbed his furry hands together.
Here's the deal.
He indicated a pair of chairs, asking us to sit. I sat down, placing Mongo's cage on the floor between me and Donut. The guide seemed oddly excited about this. I noticed for the first time that he'd cleaned up his chambers. His bed was made. The shelves with the picture of his brother and the urn with his mother had been straightened and dusted. Once we were settled, he continued.
You're going to go down the stairs, and you will immediately find yourselves back in this room. You will first choose your race, then your class, and then you will distribute your stat points. From there, I will give you information on class guilds, if applicable. Not all classes have guilds.
How many choices will there be for race?
A lot. It is unique every season, and the both of you will have a different pool of choices. The class choices will depend on your racial choice. You know how in every new Olympics they introduce a few new sports, usually ones associated with the host country? That's how it is with classes. The base classes will always be available. Fighter, mage, rogue, bard, cleric, etc. But there will also be additional, more specialized classes available, including new Earth-specific classes.
What does that mean, though? Earth-specific classes?
I don't know yet. I won't see the list until you do. But you will have an incentive to pick one of these classes. They like it when crawlers pick the new classes because it's good for ratings. The system AI...
He paused, making sure I was paying attention.
Again, the system AI and not Borant will give you some recommendations based on your pre-existing skills. These recommendations are generally good. However, these recommendations do not take into account how these choices might affect your standing socially. Does that make sense?
Yes. The AI might say it'll be best to turn into a rock monster paladin, and I'd be a badass, but it might also tank my views.
Exactly. I will also be allowed to offer limited advice. After class selection, your stat points will automatically distribute up to the race and class minimums, and you will be free to distribute the rest as you please. However, you, Donut, can't distribute stats because of your enhanced growth buff. You'll want to find something that comes with a boost to constitution if you can. Got it?
Got it, I said. Donut grunted assent. Wait a second. What was your class? I know you chose a changeling as your race, but what was your class?
I chose Arcanist, which allows me to explore several different magic schools. Certain classes can further specialize when they hit the sixth floor. It was then that I chose the fire path. I was a changeling fire mage Arcanist. It worked out well for me. I ended up a few levels behind people who went straight to fire magic, but I could still wield other magics without a big penalty.
So you didn't pick one of the special classes for your planet? He frowned slightly.
I almost chose a Skyfowl class, something called a Storm Commander, but Audette talked me out of it. My brother ended up picking it instead on her recommendation.
I paused, my eyes immediately moving to the framed photo on the shelf. He had mentioned his brother a few times, but I hadn't realized he'd been a crawler. I'd assumed he'd been lost during his planet's initial collapse.
Finally, there's the matter of the third floor itself,
Mordecai said, making it perfectly clear he had no desire to go down that conversational path.
I prefer to explain it when you get there, because there's a lot to take in. It's not something you need to worry about just yet, okay?
Sure, I said, standing. Now,
thwum!
Mongo!
Donut cried. I'd stood too close to the cage, and the monster tried to bite me. He teleported away.
Whoops.
Carl, you scared him!
I scared him? I picked up the now empty cage. Well, that sucks. I guess it wasn't meant to— Donut bolted out the door, yelling,
Mongo! Mongo!
Damn it, Donut!
I cried, running after the cat.
Don't go out there alone!
We eventually found the thing huddled in the main hall, crying like a baby, squawking at the top of his little chicken lungs.
There you are! You're going to get lost! Don't wander like that!
Donut cried, out of breath. The dinosaur looked up. The little shit looked like he'd been crying. His beady reptilian eyes grew giant when he saw us. He ran right to Donut, little arms out, like a long-lost puppy reuniting with his owner.
It's okay, I'm here, Mommy is here,
Donut said. He rushed up and chomped her directly on the nose. The next day consisted of grinding, killing brindled Vespas, and wrangling Mongo. We quickly learned that only one thing stopped the thing from trying to murder me and Donut: seeing another mob. If any sort of enemy came anywhere near us, the crazy chicken went absolutely apeshit. He screamed and snapped and tried to kill himself in an attempt to get to the creature. He was like a goddamned psychotic wolverine hopped up on bath salts. Other than his ability to inflict punishing nose chomps, the dinosaur chicken remained mostly harmless. I was afraid to let him near any mobs, even simple brindle grubs, in fear he'd get himself stomped. But in the end, that's exactly what we needed to do. It was the recap episode that gave me the clue. We were only on the program for a few short moments, but I learned something important. The four-eyed, orange-hued host of the show mentioned that Mongo was a pack hunter. That gave me an idea. After the episode, we went out and found a lone brindle grub struggling its way down a hall. You need to show him how to kill it. I'm going to let him free, and you two kill it together.
You mean I gotta use my claws?
Donut asked. Yep. She sighed.
All right. Who knew being a mother would be this difficult?
I opened the cage, and Mongo shot out like a bullet toward the level 2 brindle grub, who squeaked and tried to crawl away. The little dinosaur leaped in the air, slashing with his clawed feet and chomping down on the bug. The health bar on the grub appeared, but it barely went down.
Look, these guys are juicy on the inside,
Donut said, coming up behind the two combatants.
If you cut here, all the stuff falls out and they're dead.
She rolled the grub over and cut with her claw along the bug's stomach, like she was unzipping it. The grub shuddered and died, spilling white goo everywhere. Mongo shrieked with joy and began to vigorously devour the remains, filling himself up so much his stomach bulged afterward. The little dinosaur puked on the floor, and then ate that too.
Christ, that's disgusting.
Good boy, good Mongo,
Donut cried. Mongo stood on top of the grub's remains and peed. Luckily, the ban only applied to humans, otherwise we'd have summoned about 100 elementals that first day.
Come on, let's keep killing,
Donut said. The next hall down held 3 grubs. I followed at a distance while they rushed over and tried it again. Mongo seemed to have been paying attention. He managed to kill the second grub by himself, slicing open its belly with the hooked claw on his foot. He bounced up and down with excitement after he did it. By the time he'd finished off all 3 grubs, Mongo's dot turned from red to white. He still wasn't bonded to Donut, but he no longer attacked us. Actually, that wasn't true. He still attacked, but not as much. We didn't need the cage anymore. He followed us on foot, sometimes running ahead, sometimes hopping sideways and lagging behind. If we approached an unknown mob, I had to stick him back in the cage, however. He did not like that one bit. Despite killing a dozen grubs, he remained at level 1. We decided it was time to go back to Mordecai.
So, pets,
Mordecai said after we returned to the guild.
I'm limited in what I can tell you at this point, but I can now reveal you're on the right track. Keep doing what you're doing. That's the good news. The bad news is you need to hurry. If he's not bonded by the time the floor collapses, you won't be able to bring him with you.
We had barely 40 hours left.
Oh, no!
Donut cried.
Carl, we need to get back out there.
Just a minute. I have a couple pet questions. Can we have more than one?
It depends. There are multiple types of pets. The quick answer is no. You generally can't have more than one. But there are lots of exceptions. Some classes and some races allow for crawlers to have multiple pets. Also, if you have an especially high charisma, like Donut, you can also have multiples of certain types of pets. Also, pets with crawler IDs don't count toward that number. So, if Donut had still been classified as a pet, you'd have been able to bond with another. Crawler pets and dungeon familiars are actually a different sort of thing. That's why that Lucia Marr kid can have those two dogs without any issues. There's also this one lady who brought like 15 goats in with her. She's still alive, and so are the goats. It's bizarre. There's this one show that is obsessed with her.
Why isn't he leveling up? It's like he's not getting any experience at all. Mordecai nodded.
Pet class mobs are a little different. You got him from a treasure room, but it's the same as if you'd purchased him from a shop. Mobs that start out as a pet class will always be level one regardless of what they usually are when you find them in the dungeon. And they'll stay level one until they're bonded. Only then will they start to level. Once they do start gaining experience, though, they will grow rapidly. He'll get physically more mature each level up.
The description says he's fully grown at level 15. Is that as high as he can get?
Oh, no. Not even close. He just won't get physically bigger after that.
How big will he get?
Donut asked, looking down at the chicken who was running in circles around Mordecai's room, shrieking.
I can't tell you. But that little cage you've been using isn't going to work for much longer. You need to do more than just bond with him. You need to teach him restraint, or he is going to die. And he might just take you down with him if he aggravates the wrong mob. Any attempt at stealth is out the window until he learns to behave himself.
Mongo responded by running up to Mordecai and leap attacking his leg. It took us a good bit to find where he'd teleported to. He'd entered the hallway across from our current quadrant and was in the process of wrangling with one of those level 3 cow-tailed brindle grubs. He didn't quite yet have the chops to take one of those things out on his own, but the ferocious little dino was doing an admirable job of dodging the grub's tail swipes. We spent the next several hours trying to train him with dog commands. Attack and come and even lie down worked really well. Stay was another story. Donut was surprisingly patient during this time. It turned out Mongo was very food-motivated, and he loved pet biscuits, which made him easier to train. After a full day, we managed to keep him from just outright charging every time he saw something. He'd snarl and squawk and hop up and down, but he wouldn't plunge headfirst into battle until Donut said the command, which had somehow evolved from attack to sic'em. When the timer was down to 10 hours, we had to start carving our way toward the stairwell. We didn't have a choice. Mongo still hadn't officially bonded with Donut, and I was getting pretty worried it wasn't going to happen. We were now exclusively fighting the brindled Vespas. Despite the dungeon having the number of hornets in the dungeon, they were still everywhere. The mobs gave a decent amount of experience, and we both hit level 13. Out of desperation, we finally allowed Mongo to participate in the fights. If there were more than a couple hornets in a hallway, we didn't fuck around. I tossed in an explosive. But if there were only one or two, I grounded them with my slingshot, and Donut hit them with magic missiles. Sometimes a single missile wasn't enough to kill them. That's when we'd send Mongo in to enthusiastically finish them off. The little beast was getting good at using his claw to rip open the thorax of the downed bugs. In the hallway just outside the stair chamber, the same hallway we'd run through a few days earlier during our fight with the Rage Elemental, Mongo rushed in to finish off a hornet monster. The Vespa grabbed at Mongo with his human-like hand, capturing the small creature. The mob had been mostly dead, but apparently not dead enough. It lifted the screaming and struggling chicken into the air and moved to toss him into its enormous, toothed mouth.
Put Mongo down!
Donut screamed, flying across the hallway and slashing at the bug.
I'd never seen her move that fast. She decapitated the monster with a quick slash, and all three of them fell into a heap on the ground.
Carl! Carl, something happened!
Donut said a minute later. I see that, I said, walking up. I felt an odd combination of relief and dread. It finally worked. Congratulations. On the mini-map, Mongo's dot had turned from white to orange.
Wait, I can officially name him now. I have a new menu and everything.
Mongo the Mongoliensis, level 1, pet of Grand Champion Best in Dungeon Princess Donut, has joined the party. Mongo's title has been changed to Royal Steed.
We did it!
Donut cried, hopping up and down.
We tamed Mongo!
Mongo also jumped up and down next to the cat. He squawked with delight, waving his little arms. And then he bit Donut right on the nose. So, with 7 hours left, one before the recommended time to descend, we camped out in the room with the stairs. I sat on the ground, playing with my menus, while Donut and Mongo ran in circles around the large chamber, playing energetically. Donut was instructing Mongo on the art of pouncing. I watched, smiling. My heart felt heavy as I watched them. What would the next floor hold? How much longer could we survive? I thought of Mordecai and his brother, of that time we'd caught Mordecai unaware. He'd been drunk, holding onto that framed picture. This game, this terrible, cruel game left scars that spanned centuries. I thought of the cheering crowds, watching this all from the safety of their homes. You will not break me. Fuck you all. You will not break me. As we waited for the timer to hit 6 hours, I thought back to that odd boss prize I received after killing the gerbil. I would have thought that defeating the boss in such a manner would have garnered me a better prize. The dungeon AI wasn't my friend. It wasn't on my side, I knew that. But surely I should have gained something good. I pulled up my inventory menu. I now had a new tab labeled History. I clicked on it, and it was filled with pretty much the same junk I had now, but with the chopper and a few extra potions and scrolls and bits of things I'd used to build other items. Curious, I clicked to sort it by value. I practically choked. Listed at the very top of my menu were three items I'd never seen before. I clicked over to make sure I didn't have them now. I didn't. What the actual hell? I looked about, afraid to say anything out loud. Was this some sort of bug? I went back to the menu and examined the three items. The tooltips didn't go into the same detail they would if I still had the items on me, though I could see their names and what category my inventory had placed them in.
Trans-Tunnel 7C Orator Relay by Valte Corporation. Intertunnel Communications Device. Valte Persa Shield Platinum Edition. Tech-based personal shield. Mag 3040 Valte Core Pulse Pistol. Tech-based weapon.
The first item had a red exclamation point next to it. I hovered over the red mark, and a warning popped up.
Warning. The system AI governing this program has deemed all non-sanctioned and monitored communication devices illegal, and they will not work within the dungeon. You may own and sell illegal devices, but any attempt to use or circumvent dungeon rules will result in immediate disqualification.
I was completely at a loss.
Somebody's coming,
Donut said.
There's a blue dot moving toward us.
My first thought was Frank and Maggie. I jumped to my feet and pulled up the map. It wasn't them. The moment I saw who it was, though, I realized I knew exactly where those items in my inventory had come from. The realization hit me like a brick.
Well, that's a weird coincidence.
Agatha, I said. Holy shit! She's still alive!
I had taken her entire shopping cart into my inventory during that boss battle with the ball of swine. So much had happened so quickly during that battle, I'd never actually examined the individual items of her cart. I'd never even thought to do it. I looked now, and sure enough, all of it was there. The shopping cart. An inordinate amount of IKEA bags and cans of spray paint. Blankets, clothes, and a goddamned pulse pistol.
All three of the items appeared to be manufactured by the same company, the Valte Corporation. My mind raced. I thought of what Brandon had said. Agatha had been the one to set their old folks' home on fire, bringing everyone outside. The act had temporarily saved the lives of hundreds of people. But did she work for Borant? Had someone just given her that stuff, and she didn't know what it was? And why the hell hadn't she shown up on the recap episode? Should I say something?
You ain't dead,
Agatha said a few minutes later as she wheeled the squeaking shopping cart into the room. The woman was still level 4, the same she'd been since the boss battle with the Tusklings.
Where have you been?
I asked, moving toward her.
Don't touch me!
She cried, shuffling faster toward the stairs.
You're a cart thief! I don't trust cart thieves!
Hey, I gave it back,
I said. She didn't answer. She just pushed her cart toward the stairs. I was tempted to grab her cart again, but only for a second. Whatever this was, it was something well beyond my current ability to understand or process, and getting involved with it probably wasn't good for my health, especially when I didn't know what the hell was going on. Never trust someone if their motivations aren't clear. Odette had said that to me. Still, I was overwhelmed with curiosity. I thought of that saying, curiosity killed the cat. Mongo screamed at Agatha, but Donut whispered a quiet command, and the little monster held back. Agatha gave the dinosaur no heed. The stairs had already turned into a ramp thanks to the earlier descent by Brandon and crew.
I see the other has made it down,
Agatha muttered as she pushed the cart forward.
You should wait 10 minutes. If you go down now, you'll lose 6 hours. Plus, I need to talk to you. About your shopping cart.
I added that last part without thinking, and I immediately regretted it.
Don't get involved, you idiot.
Agatha paused. She gave me a sharp look. Through her roomy eyes, I saw a warning there. No, those eyes said. Stop now.
I can fix the wheel, I quickly added. It's squeaking. They can hear you coming.
She blinked, and the look went away so quickly I wondered if I had imagined it.
No need to fix my squeak, boy. Them critters already know I'm here. They just don't know what to do about it. You worry about you, and I worry about me.
She continued down the stairs, quickly disappearing from view. Zev, are you guys okay? Donut,
we are fine. Are you okay?
Zev, okay, false alarm. I see you now. There was a brief outage there in the feed. It happens sometimes. Odette says she's ready whenever you are, so feel free to go down starting in 7 minutes. I won't be able to talk to you until after you're done with the race and class selection. I guess I'll see you guys on the other side. Good luck. Carl, how long was the feed out? Zev, just a couple minutes. It's been acting funky all day. Don't worry, it's nothing unusual. People are always complaining about it. I'm on planet, and I still have feed issues.
Them critters already know I'm here. They just don't know what to do about it.
Christ, I thought. What sort of bullshit was this? I thought back to the inventory potion. The moment I'd discovered the items, Agatha had appeared. Was that a coincidence? Was she working with the system AI? I shook my head. A week and a half ago, I'd been planning on kidnapping a prize-winning cat and then selling everything I owned in order to bribe my ex-girlfriend to keep her from suing me. And even that was more drama than I'd ever wanted to deal with. All of this, with the Skull Empire and everything else, it was just too much, too fast. How could we focus on surviving when we had all this other stuff to deal with? I sighed. I watched the timer finally run down to 6 hours.
Come on, Donut. Let's see what this third floor is all about.
Do you think it'll be as exciting as the second floor?
God, I hope not.
Mongo screeched.
Epilogue.
You do realize that thing is going to get you killed, right?
Odette asked after the conclusion of her show. Donut was currently chasing Mongo around the studio. The little dinosaur kept running headfirst into the invisible wall and screaming. Lexis, Odette's production assistant, had given the small monster a bow tie to wear on the show, and he'd practically bitten off her finger. The tie had lasted about 3 seconds before he'd ripped it off. The taping had gone well. We'd started off by discussing the whole thing with the Rage Elemental. Then we talked about Mongo. Donut had trained him to perch quietly on her back, clinging onto her fur. He'd behaved himself. Mostly. Odette had mentioned something about a magical pet carrier, which apparently was the dungeon's equivalent of a Pokeball. They were supposedly expensive, but it would allow us to put bonded pets into inventory without harming them. I didn't care how much they cost. If we could afford it, it was going to be one of our first purchases. No more shoving Mongo into the gerbil cage and then sticking him in the bathroom so he couldn't hear his shrieks while we slept. I'd known what was coming next. After the segment on Mongo, I'd finally gotten to see a shortened version of the infamous Pork Boy Snick. Donut had found it hilarious. The mysterious creator of the video had been very generous with my proportions. I'd been half expecting the video to feature my feet prominently. I didn't dare say it out loud, but I had this strange notion that the system AI might have had something to do with the video. But if it did, the video showed nothing to indicate it. In fact, it had clearly been produced by someone more interested in the maestro than me, as he was the obvious subject of the video.
So,
Odette had said after we watched the scene and the audience's uproarious laughter eased,
you are likely unaware of this, but Death Watch Extreme Dungeon Mayhem announced earlier that it was going into hiatus while the show restructured. I'm shocked,
Donut said.
Quite shocked.
The audience laughed.
King Rust of the Skull Empire, who recently arrived in Earth orbit, has been oddly quiet about the controversy. A spokesperson for the royal family has requested people stop referring to the prince as Carl's naughty little piggy.
The audience roared.
But so far, nobody seems to be complying.
Odette turned to her audience. With her bug helmet, her face was expressionless, but I could hear the grin in her voice.
I would personally like to assure King Rust that I would never call Prince Maestro Carl's naughty little piggy or Pork Boy, and I would like to encourage my audience to never sink to that level. Again, it's Prince Maestro, and not...
She held her hands out.
Carl's naughty little piggy!
The audience shouted, followed by peals of laughter.
Anyway, what do you think about this, Carl?
Look, I don't know anything about the Skull Clan or Empire or whatever, or this king guy. I'm sure he has a perfectly nice family and kingdom. The audience laughed. I don't want any trouble with him and his people. But his son is a dick, and I called him out on it. Nothing more, nothing less. I didn't mean to cause an intergalactic incident. I know nothing about the video.
So, to be clear, it is a snick?
Odette asked.
A lot of people seem to believe it's real.
If I was going to turn gay, it wouldn't be with that guy. The audience screamed. Odette nodded.
But you did challenge him to single combat.
Yes, I did. And that offer still stands. I still don't know how any of this stuff works because you guys won't tell me anything. More laughter. But I hope for the chance to face him one-on-one.
We do too, don't we?
Odette said. The audience cheered. Someone shouted, Glurp, glurp! A minute later, the whole audience was glurping. Odette shook her head in mock disgust. The show soon ended after that. Like last time, Odette ushered Lexus out of the room so we could talk for a few minutes. Is it worth it? I asked, indicating the pet. If he lives, I mean.
You should have picked the tummy acre,
Odette said.
The little round guy with the mohawk. They're very friendly and easy to work with. Plus, they're rare and people love them. Once they're full grown, they are one of the best melee tanks in the game. But your Mongo is a solid choice. If you can keep him alive, he will be a vicious fighter.
So, I gave your message to Mordecai. He wasn't too pleased with the idea of working for you. She nodded sadly.
I saw. I watched you tell him. He had a few additional choice words for me after you left. He'll come around. Tell him I understand his feelings on the matter, and I would love for the opportunity to explain myself.
What happened between you two?
We don't have time to go into it. But the short answer is, I pushed him too hard, and he paid dearly for it. Anyway, you're about to hit the all-important third floor.
She'd ask me on air if I knew what I was going to do, and I'd answered truthfully. I had no idea what was going to happen. Donut had lied and said she had it all planned out.
Do you really not know what you're going to do?
I don't even know what my choices are going to be. How can I decide? She nodded.
When I decided to stay human, it lost me several viewers, but not too many. You're in a tough position. Whatever you choose, make sure it has either a Pathfinder skill or some sort of advanced mapping ability. Finding stairwells as quickly as possible will be crucial on further floors. It's not going to be a problem on this third floor. Also, make sure Donut goes first. That way you can tailor your class selection on hers. I would ignore the AI's advice for your race, but I'd take a careful look at whatever it suggests for your class.
Hey, do you know anything about the Valtay Corporation? She paused, cocking her head to the side.
Where did you hear about them?
I shrugged. Just curious. I heard it somewhere. She smiled, but without humor.
Be careful. If they are somehow contacting you or trying to get to you, be very cautious. They're a corporate system government, and they're the ones who currently have an entire fleet parked outside of the Borant system, ready to collect on the debt. They were hours away from initiating a full-scale collection action when the Kuatine stopped them in their tracks by starting the season early. They're one of the most powerful entities in the universe. The next season is going to be run by them.
Are they human? I asked. I thought of Agatha. Was she one of these aliens? The idea seemed absurd.
No, not usually. They're a parasitic life form. They do utilize human bodies, but their home world is aquatic, and they much prefer water-based hosts, such as the Kuatine or the Gleaners. They're known for their technological advancements. Their version of Dungeon Crawler World is less goblins and trolls and more android death machines and pulse rifles.
I contemplated telling her about Agatha, but I decided against it. I decided it would be best to just stay away from the woman the best I could. Mongo pounced and chomped directly onto Donut's tail. She howled and started running in circles with Mongo still attached. Odette shook her head.
You're going to want to level that thing up as soon as you can. But make sure Donut has proper control over him first. Those little nibbles and nose chomps are cute now. They won't be so adorable when he's full grown.
Do you know how big he gets?
You honestly don't know what he is? He's a pretty common creature across the universe. They always seed the human worlds with those guys and the others before the humans develop. Most human kids love these things.
He's a dinosaur of some sort. I know that much.
He's a dinosaur, all right. Mongoliensis.
Her eyes flashed, in a similar way that Mordecai's did when he was searching through his menus.
Ah, I see,
she said after a moment.
The issue is the translation. Mongoliensis is based off the scientific name. Your language had a more common name for these things.
The little chicken jumped up on Donut's back and squawked.
You called them velociraptors.
I returned my gaze to the little monster. I'd been thrown off by the pink feathers in the beak. But now that she said it, I could see the monstrosity Mongo would soon become.
I mean, it's obvious, isn't it?
Oh, hell, I finally said. She laughed. Donut came up to us, breathless.
Carl, is it time to go yet?
There's one last piece of advice I'd like to give,
Odette said, looking at the both of us. She paused, as if uncertain about what she was about to say. She changed on a dime, suddenly looking different. Almost sad.
It's just a suggestion. I don't know if, morally, this is a good idea or not, but this will greatly increase your chances of survival. It's something to look for during class selection. It's generally only offered to crawlers with a high charisma, so if it's available, it'll be hidden somewhere amongst Donut's choices. The problem is, if you pick it, it's going to make someone very angry.
It's over, yo.
New achievement! You read a book. You managed to make it all the way through the first Dungeon Crawler Carl book without throwing it against the wall. Reward? You get to wait until January of 2021 before you can read the next one. The good news is the next book has clowns and dead hookers in it.
Thank you for listening to Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Denneman. Whoa. Don't go to your next audiobook just yet. I got something to tell you. If you liked what you heard, you should go to soundbooththeater.com to find more from the same producers. They're not just narrators. They like to play with sound and music in their productions, and if you like your listening experience to be more detailed and immersive, and you need a way to supplement your Audible addiction, they have an app, and their own store, and everything. And the audio quality is amazing. Hell, maybe someday you'll be able to find Dungeon Crawler Carl on there. Maybe they can get the legendary Annie Ellicott to play as Donut. And maybe it'll sound something like this. This has been Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Denneman. Narrated by Jeff Hayes. Proofing by Dory Sachs. Editing and mastering by Mike Smith. Text copyright 2020 by Matt Denneman. Production copyright 2021 by Sound Booth Theater. A Sound Booth Theater production. Facebook groups are great for meeting other listeners with similar interests and finding more great audiobooks. To find more video game fiction, visit the Gamelit Society group. Or, if you want to find more from Sound Booth Theater, visit the Sound Booth Theater Live group. To stay up to date on upcoming audiobooks, buy audiobooks with sound effects, music, and a full cast straight from us, or to see us perform live, sign up for our newsletter at soundbooththeater.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.